Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of Speculating Disney Parks. We'll introduce ourselves here in this first episode. I'm Sam. I've been going to Disney World about every 1 to 3 years since I was 2 years old. Been going a long time. It's a place full of memories. Still love to make memories and try all the new things there are in Disney because there's still a whole lot that, you know, it takes a long time to truly try everything. And I'm a big Disney fan as well. Love Star Wars. This is kind of a fun podcast idea that Porter and I came up with. We're always talking about what Disney could do differently with their rides and sometimes shops and restaurants, but mostly rides, like stuff that's struggling or stuff that may not be struggling, but it's going to get rethemed. What could they change it to? We like to talk about this stuff, that kind of stuff. And we figured we'd share it with the world. Porter, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Sure. Thanks, Sam. My name is Porter. I am a relatively newer Disney fan. I started going to Disney World in 2017. I worked there on the college program for a stint in 2018. And we've been going probably every year since then, maybe besides some COVID skippage.
In case y'all are wondering how we know each other, he's engaged to my sister. So, yeah. The one thing that we're gonna do on this as well is, I'm more of the nostalgic Disney fan, and Porter's more of the new age Disney fan. So you'll see me favoring a lot of rides that have a lot of nostalgic value, and Porter looks a little more to the future. That's kind of the dynamic that we have here. So on our first episode, we want to talk about Tomorrowland. I will share my screen here. Do you see a map of Tomorrowland?
Yep. We got the whole Magic Kingdom there.
All right. Let's zoom into Tomorrowland. Okay. So we'll go down the list here and we'll just look at everything. We can get into dining and shopping as well, but the main thing we're going to talk about is attractions. The first thing on the list, and probably one that everybody is kind of wondering whether or not it's safe. Just a heads up as well, when we talk about rides being safe or not safe, we're talking about within the next 10 years. It's a reasonable time to assume what's going to happen to a ride. Tomorrowland Speedway. I don't think that ride, at least in its current state, I don't think it's safe. I think they're going to keep it because kids love a ride that, kids love driving in there. That was the first time that I drove a car. So, I think it's something they need to keep. It means a lot to families. Porter, what do you think? Safe or not safe?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't think this one's safe. I obviously didn't ride it when it was longer, but I hear that they've shortened it a couple times. Mm. And you can kind of find these types of rides at like simpler theme parks, like a Six Flags or something like that. So it really doesn't feel that unique anymore. You've got that smell of like gas fumes. Coming out between Cosmic Rays and the attraction there. It's just, it really doesn't fit the whole aesthetic of Tomorrowland anymore, in my opinion.
I think the best retheme they could do, and we've talked about this a lot, and I've seen this around the internet as well, a Wreck-It Ralph retheme would be absolutely perfect because Ralph and Vanellope were video game characters. That certainly fits in with the whole Tomorrow digital theme, but you have Fantasyland right there. And, it's escaping me what the name of the Vanellope's game was, but I know it had kind of a fantasy theme to it. So it would be the perfect segue.
Yeah, exactly. Like they could, to fit the Tomorrowland theme, they could like you could step into like the story of the ride. You could be like stepping into the virtual world of Wreck-It Ralph, and you know, taking one of those candy cruisers for a spin around Vanellope's candy course.
Right, exactly. I'm trying now to find the name of the game. I forget what it was called, but you could race
Sugar
through that and
Rush.
they could, sorry.
Sugar Rush.
Sugar Rush, that's
That's
it.
what it was.
You could have animatronics as well of Ralph and Vanellope, like, you got this. I think it would be the perfect overlay just, to get immersed into that world, like you said.
Yeah, and it fits between Fantasyland and Tomorrowland. You know, like let's say you're coming from, the Teacups or Storybook Circus down into Tomorrowland. Like the bright, candy colors still fit into the Fantasyland color scheme, but then you've got, maybe they use like electric cars instead of, the gas cars that they're using now.
I
And the
would think
whole,
that's the future going forward.
right. Yeah. The whole virtual aspect of it fits the Tomorrowland theme, because VR is only getting bigger and bigger. It's a futuristic concept. I think that's the best option for Tomorrowland.
I do hear a lot of people talking about how they want the Speedway gone altogether. And I
So
just don't really know what they would put in that area because
they'd replace it with like a different concept entirely.
a lot of people, I don't know if they just say turn that area into grass or like try to put up a new attraction or something. I mean, you already got Tron there, so I wouldn't think you'd try to build again something over the Speedway, but I think they just need to leave it and retheme it just because, it's meaningful to families, but make it relatable to children with Wreck-It Ralph.
Well, and it used to be so popular too. Like I remember when I, first started paying attention to Disney World, like, that was a popular attraction. But now, I mean, nowadays I feel like we look at the wait times, it kind of hovers around a half hour, which is still not like terrible. It's not like a 5 minute wait or anything like that. But I think, given the theming of tomorrow, it feels like a relic of the past.
Right, at least where they're headed now, especially with Tron right next to it. I mean, it looks so much different.
And I mean, like, I brought up this idea to you with Tron going in sort of, north of Space Mountain, if we're looking at it like a compass. Like they could potentially create another sort of plaza. Like, you've got the Astro Orbiter and the entrance to the People Mover, kind of in the center between, that the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin, Carousel of Progress, and that building with like anti-gravity's goodies and the shops and all of that. They could make another type of plaza center, for people to gather around, that fits between Space Mountain, Tron, and where the Speedway is right now.
That would be kind of interesting if they had a second plaza.
Yeah. It is, I feel like it is one of the more spacious, and not to get too far away from tomorrow or from the Speedway here, but it is one of the more spacious lands of the Magic Kingdom in terms
Oh,
of
yeah.
walking space.
Definitely just like this huge area over here and, up between the Speedway and Cosmic Rays. Yeah, that's a wide area and Space Mountain especially. Yeah, I could see them adding in another hub as well, just for I don't know if it's like another pin trading place or what, but I could
Yeah, and
certainly
I
find a
think it
way to
would
make
just make it
something
feel
work.
bigger. Yeah, it would make the land feel a little bigger, which I think could only, work to serve Disney's interests, when the parks are reaching capacity all the time and they're as crowded as they are these days.
Yeah, definitely. So, moving on from Tomorrowland Speedway, I think we both are in agreement. Yeah, not safe.
That's
Probably needs a retheme in the next 10 years. Next on the list, Space Mountain. I think it's safe to say that ride is pretty safe. It's a classic. The one thing I'm kind of curious is if Disney World would ever do an overlay like they do in Disneyland with the Hyperspace Mountain, which is a Star Wars theming of it. I know there were people who tried to spread rumors about, oh, they're going to retheme Space Mountain to Lightyear. I'm like, please don't. We don't need IP and everything. Let this be a standalone thing.
Seriously,
and it's perfect the way it is. Just like, yeah. I wouldn't be upset if they didn't try to do a Hyperspace Mountain thing, but I don't know. If it was a seasonal overlay, I guess it'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, neither of us mind IP. Like, it's brought some really great attractions to the resort, but, like, you know, replacing something, not replacing, but sort of putting a skin over something as classic as Space Mountain, it's not necessary. I think it's great the way it is. I love what they did with the queue, with the Play Disney Parks app, you know, kind of that interactive thing. They were, while the games in line were, I'm sure, fun for kids and stuff like that, it really did create some log jams for fans.
There were adults who got pretty involved with that as well.
Right.
And it's like, we could have been through this line a lot faster and everybody not been trying to play the games everywhere. I don't know if anybody else listening remembers it, but oh, it was annoying.
That wasn't that long ago. I can't remember when exactly they replaced that. That might have been 2020 or 2021.
Oh, maybe it was.
Yeah. Because I do remember those when I started going to the parks, those games.
So Space Mountain, yeah, we agree, pretty safe.
Yeah, pretty safe.
Astro Orbiters. I'll let you start this one.
Yeah, I think this one's safe too. I mean, like, what do you replace it with? You know, how do you even go about, like, taking apart that ride if they, like, discontinue it, or, you know, retheming it? It's in the center of Tomorrowland. It sort of fits with the kinetic movement, you know, energy of the land. You know, when you walk in, you see the rockets kind of circling around the center, and you see the people moving horizontally, you know, kind of in symmetry with it. It's more a piece of the land itself, rather than an actual attraction that you'd want to go on every time. You know, like, we'll skip Astro Orbiters every once in a while, because it's you know, it's another Dumbo, it's another Magic Carpets, you know, it takes you a bit higher, but,
and you get some incredible views, which is why I think it's probably the best of those three, like, flying rides. I don't really know what they're called, but
yeah, like the circling flying rides. Plus, right. Oh my gosh, at night, folks, if you've never ridden the Astro Orbiter at nighttime, put that on your next bucket list.
Yes, it is. Views are spectacular. I also agree that this is safe because, yeah, I don't know what you'd replace it with. It's one of those rides. It's best at nighttime, so I think it's safe. Moving on to the next on the list, the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover. For the longest time, I honestly thought this ride could potentially get rethemed into something, but, you know, the more I thought about it, I'm like, what would they change it to? But during the pandemic, it was closed a really long time for a refurbishment, and it just gained this cult following on TikTok, and I don't really know why it happened, but I'm glad it did, because I love this ride. I think it's definitely safe within the next 10 years because it's a great break from, you know, the heat. And it's never more than a 30-minute wait, except during peak times. I think I may have seen on the app before I got up to 45 minutes, but short wait, great break. And sometimes it's just nice to be in the dark in Space Mountain, and, you know, just, there's something peaceful about it. Maybe I'm just weird and love Space Mountain, but it's just peaceful.
Yeah, and I don't know. It kind of gives a feeling of you're getting a little backstage tour. You know, they go through Space Mountain, some of the shops, Buzz Lightyear. You know, and you're kind of staring into the stage as it's operating, and it's just a nice ride through the land. Yeah.
We did once. We saw Taylor. We were going through Mickey Star Traders. We could see her. And I want to say we We all waved at each other. I can't remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm not recalling that. Was this 2021?
2021, when it was like
Oh,
104, like a record heat
okay.
index. That
Yeah,
day was
that day
brutal.
was, jeez, oh man, yeah.
So next on the list is Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress. That one I think is safe because I'm pretty sure it's not operating in Disneyland anymore. Maybe it is. I'll look it up here, but that's a classic, and it's another great break from, the Florida humidity and heat. And they recently changed the last scene. We didn't get a chance to see it when we were there last time. It kept closing down, but I think this is something that'll be safe. Maybe they'll change some of the scenes or something, depending on what's going on and like whatever technology they may want to incorporate, but I think that ride's pretty safe.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Tomorrowland's got two shows going for it, and we're gonna get into Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor later. But I think Carousel of Progress is safe. Just from the fact that I think they're trying to maintain the spirit of Walt Disney, so to speak, across each of the lands, and making sure that they've still got something reminiscent of the park's namesake. Carousel of Progress being, of course, one of the more major ones.
So looking it up online, the Carousel of Progress was originally owned the World's Fair, as we all know. Then it went to Disneyland after its run at the World's Fair, and then it closed in 1973, and then it opened in Magic Kingdom in 1975. So that is the only one. And that's something that, a lot of fans of some of the original Disney stuff hold pretty close. So I think it's safe to say that that ride's not going anywhere.
Agreed. I think just in terms of its location too, in Tomorrowland, it's kind of butting up against the southern edge. It's a little out of the way, so it's easy to keep too.
Exactly. Next on the list, Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin. This was my favorite ride as a kid. I don't know how many times in a row I would ride this, but I love this ride. I'm kind of torn between safe and not safe in the next 10 years because Disney has really started to go towards more digital stuff. I mean, with the Spider-Man Web Slinger ride is all digital, the Toy Story Mania, all digital.
Yeah.
I love that, it's all the like physical and objects and everything. I don't know, the screens just get kind of annoying after a while. I really want to say this ride is safe in the next 10 years, but I just get this really bad feeling that they might try to do a major upgrade or something to it that modernize it in a way.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'd be willing to listen to somebody who thinks it's not safe, but it's got a pretty quick moving queue. Even if the wait time is high, I feel like you're always moving through it. Like always walking, most of the queue is in the shade. And it's just a great family ride. So I personally think that this one is safe. Toy Story is so big, and it almost feels like a kid built that ride. It's like with the color choices and all of the aliens that kind of look like toys, they're kind of moving like toys. It's a really well done attraction. I think it's safe.
Okay, well, that makes me feel better. All right, next on the list, Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. I'm gonna let you start this one.
Yeah, as I kind of referred to it earlier, I don't think this one is safe in the next 10 years. I do really like this show though. You can do it every once in a while. I'd say if you go annually to Disney World, it's not something you want to go to every time, just because the jokes get reused, you know, but it is a different experience every time. So I think it's worth keeping. It's the only thing that's bugged me about it is that it doesn't feel Tomorrowland to me, you know, like nothing about Monstropolis feels like a Tomorrowland. You know, it's just another world, you know. So I, you know, if they end up going with some sort of like Pixar area in Hollywood Studios, which I think there is right now, that they could fairly easily move this over there. I don't know what the precedent is for Disney moving attractions. But I think that they could put something else in this building.
Well, this is another one that I'm kind of unsure about because it's, you know, it interacts with the crowd and everything, and from, you know, animated characters and all, which is kind of unique. Families enjoy it, but I feel like they really improved it with Turtle Talk with Crush. Like, I don't know how many reels or TikToks I've seen of it, but Crush is just. He's crushing it. All right. He's insanely popular with crowds. It seems like everybody wants to go to that attraction, but you don't really hear a lot with Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. Like, I remember going once and the jokes were pretty funny, but like you watch POVs and you're just kind of like, oh yeah, I think I remember that from last time. So depending on how you feel about Monsters, Inc., I guess it kind of can be a one and done attraction.
I mean, they've got something with the IP. Like, I mean, Monsters, Inc. is loved by everyone, you know? I think they should hang on to the concept, just maybe relocate it somewhere. Just.
I'm gonna disagree and say it's safe in the next 10 years just because I don't know what Disney's like with relocating rides, but I don't know. It's something different from other attractions in the park, so I think within the next 10 years, I think it'll still be there.
Okay.
So looking at some of the dining, I don't really know that a whole lot's going to change with dining. I know Cosmic Rays is that kind of became a cult classic as well, like, you know, with Sunny Eclipse, you know, performing his, you know, little show all the time. Like I think it's a lot of fun. As a kid, younger than a kid, I was How old was I? I was like 3 or 4 years old, and I don't remember it, but I was told that I tried to run up to him, and he's performing. All of a sudden, he just shuts down and just like bends. Oh, sorry, and he just bends over. And they, I yeah, my dad loves to remind me of the time that I shut down Cosmic Rays.
Shut down Sunny Eclipse and the Space Angels. No, that's hilarious. Yeah, I don't think much will change in terms of the dining and the shopping here. You know, the food options sometimes change, of course, but I think they've got a good setup in Tomorrowland. It feels good.
I do wish they had a little more stuff that wasn't Stitch in Star Traders. I mean, I know that Stitch is like, he's got to be top five and the most popular Disney characters of all time. If not top five, definitely top 10. He is probably like, you know, one of those first characters that they merchandised everywhere. But I don't know. I kind of wish they'd have a little more stuff. But then again, they do in the Space Mountain shop, but it was closed when we went, which for the sake of my bank account was probably safe because I usually go crazy in that shop. That one in the Haunted Mansion shop, somebody's got to keep me from spending all my money.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine if Memento Mori was as big as the Space Mountain gift shop? That would
Dude.
be awesome.
Well, I know what we'll be talking about in
Even
that
better.
episode.
Yeah.
What if bigger haunted mansion shop? Okay, so we've gone through Tomorrowland here. This is just a little recap. Tomorrowland Speedway, we both agree, not safe. Just about everything between Space Mountain to Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, pretty safe in the next 10 years. Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, not really sure. What do you guys think? I don't know if there's a comment section on this website, but Let me know on Instagram. I'll be posting a link to this there at trader.sam.eagle. There'll be a post with a link to this podcast. Let me know there what you guys, what rides y'all think are safe, not safe, based on what we talked about, and whether or not you agree that Tomorrowland Speedway or Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor may or may not get rethemed in the next 10 years. So one more thing we'd like to do here on our podcast. I always love doing top five rides, top five stores. We saw it in a YouTube video and we're like, this would be kind of fun to do. We did it during the pandemic a little bit. Porter, Taylor, my sister, his fiance, and I, we would kind of go through some of the top fives and thought, well, we should share it at the end of our podcast here, then see what our listeners, what some of their top fives are.
So yeah, we're going to do Watcher Entertainment. They do the top five beatdowns. And I believe that they had a Disney movie top five beatdown, which we'll get to eventually. But that's where the idea for this came from.
So, okay, gotcha. I couldn't remember the video. I remember watching it years ago, but YouTube, sometimes it's so easy to get all the channels mixed up. Okay, so for our top five Disney rides, that's what we're going to start with today. Porter, how about you go first?
All right, so we're going to start with five, right?
Correct, 5-1, countdown. Okay.
So yeah, since we last did this, it's changed a little bit, but number five I've got Tower of Terror.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I think everything from the queue to the pre-show to the ride itself to even just walking onto Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood Studios and seeing that giant tower looming at the end, and you know, you're walking through all the shops and you exit them and the Tower of Terror, it creeps closer and closer as you get to the end of the boulevard until you're finally, you know, right under it beneath all that greenery. They just did such a beautiful job with that one. It's got to make my top five.
A lot of people say it's the perfect Disney ride just because of the way it builds up. And I love that in that little like message thing where it says elevator, or like it says what's on the different floors, and you look down in the window, it's right before you go into the pre-show. It says in the letters in the bottom of this tray, say, take the stairs. Like, that is so chilling. Like,
yeah,
I don't, whoever found it first, thank you for posting that.
Yeah. It's got a ton of those tiny details too. Like in the pre-show room, you know, it's got some objects from the show in the, I think at the end of the ride, when the cart is taking you backwards, like there's another room with some cool shout outs to the Twilight Zone,
to the original show. Yeah.
And you know, even at the beginning of the ride when you see the ghosts of those that had perished on the elevator waving at you, and then that scene just slowly turns into this just starry, you know, interdimensional place that you move forward into. It's like, it's that ride is just so well done.
So number five for me. Okay, I wrote this down. Now the Excel spreadsheet I have saving all this stuff, I got it mixed up. I thought it said seven, but like, nope, I just have a couple other things. Number five for me is a ride we talked about a little while ago, Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin. It's, you know, that cue gets everybody excited with the drums and Buzz Lightyear going, all right, you Space Rangers, listen up. And I remember as a kid being like, yes, sir. I was so excited to be a Space Ranger. Even as an adult, I still get excited being on that ride. Of course, now I'm a lot better at this ride than when I was a kid. So I think my high score was 336,000. Not quite a Galactic Hero. I need to go and it's like, you know, September, and I can just ride that ride over and over again. I can just tell the cast member, again, yeah, again.
Just don't even get off the cart. Just like, nope. Send me right back through.
I'm sure somebody's done it. We'll have to look for that on YouTube.
Yeah, maybe if somebody has like that, it's like the Make-A-Wish genie pass where you get to go in any fast pass. They just keep flashing that. Just like, yeah, send me through.
So number four, what's your number four?
All right, my number four, we're staying in Hollywood Studios, is Rise of the Resistance.
Really?
I'm a sucker for this ride. I know it's the talk of the town in terms of Star Wars attractions right now. I just they poured their hearts and souls into this one. I would say the queue and the build up to the actual ride is just as good as the ride itself. You know, like the transport and getting taken in, you know, by the First Order. And then, you know, the doors open and you're escorted out by those like lieutenants, and they, you know, they treat you poorly, you know, like you're prisoners, and you walk into that, you know,
Holding
it's
cell.
like a launch bay, yeah, like where all the stormtroopers are. You know, you've seen the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the ride itself is just fun. You know, every time you ride it, there's something else to look at. And yeah, it's a great experience. And I, you know, it could be the novelty of it. You know, maybe this one drops off in a bit, but right now it's holding fast at number four for me.
I will always love that ride. Like, I'm not a big fan of like sequel Star Wars. I'm more of a prequels, original trilogy guy, but that ride increased my Star Wars fandom just because, like, you know, I was experiencing it. It was awesome.
Yeah, the experience itself is just, it's top tier.
So number four for me is the Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith. Aerosmith is one of my favorite bands, so you know, I'm that person who, when I'm not screaming from the takeoff, I'm usually okay, I'm still screaming. I'm screaming the lyrics because I mean, I can't really sing anyway, but you know, just screaming along with the lyrics as you're going along. Like, it's so much fun just with Aerosmith blasting in all directions as you're going inverted and all that stuff. And it's the only ride in Disney that goes inverted. So that adds a plus as
That's a
well. But
good point.
it's, yeah, that's just that ride's so much fun. And I'm very upset that it wasn't open when we were there on a spring break.
Yeah. All right, number three for me is Haunted Mansion.
Ooh.
Going back to the Magic Kingdom. I mean, this one's a classic. You know, growing up, my dad was actually a huge fan of Haunted Mansion, and even though I hadn't been to Disney World or Disneyland, he always had like some collectibles. Like he had this jacket, and just some really neat merch from over the years with his obsession with Haunted Mansion. And I think I just inherited that a little bit. It's, you know, it's a classic for a reason. It stayed virtually the same for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, maybe other than updating the technology of the ride, there's no reason to change it. It's like Tower of Terror. It's just one of those perfect rides. Got a great line, great pre-show, great attraction. The
Yeah,
music is fun.
it's
It's
stood the test of time, you know.
yeah. So number three for me is Expedition Everest. I love when you go backwards, and it adds that, you know, you're just like, oh crap, what? And you just go flying, and it's just there's not a lot of roller coasters that I know of that do that. It's the only one that I've gone on that goes backwards, but I really wish they would fix Disco Yeti as well. I mean, it's kind of fun having the Disco Yeti,
Yeah.
but I wish he would reach out. But that's my favorite Animal Kingdom ride, but that's definitely been one that, like, if I get the chance to, I will ride it over and over again.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. I hope they fix the Yeti at some point too. Yeah, you hear rumors about it, little whispers about them fixing the Yeti. But I think just with the state of Animal Kingdom right now and what's going on over in Dinoland, we'll get into this later, you know. Yeah, I think probably the Yeti fix is a long ways off.
Might be on the horizon.
Yeah, let's cross our fingers. All right, number two for me is my favorite attraction in the Magic Kingdom, Pirates of the Caribbean. It's, you know, I love it for about the same reason as I love Haunted Mansion. You know, it's another one that stood the test of time. The reason that this is boosted above Haunted Mansion is I love the story and the way it leads you through the attraction and, you know, into that fort. The goofiness of the pirates, even the smells, the effects of the cannonballs, you know,
Yes.
landing around you. You never know, you know, when the water's going to shoot up. around, you know, it's kind of tense, even though it's just water. I don't know. I always kind of tense up, like wondering where the cannonballs are going to land.
Well,
Just
that water hit. Oh, sorry.
no, go ahead.
Say that water hits a little hard sometimes. It's always really cold as well. Like you were just out in the heat. Like I know through the queue you were indoors for a little bit, but I don't know. It just doesn't really feel pleasant when it's landing on you.
But that's a good point though, because Pirates is always like kind of chilly. Like especially once you get past that part of the queue where it's like, you know, you're just winding through the chains. It's sort of still open air. You actually get inside. Like the AC in that queue is top tier. So yeah, by the time you reach that part, you're like, you cooled off already. And then you get this like the loud sounds of just the pop of those cannonballs landing.
And the theme as well.
Oh my gosh. Yo
Iconic.
ho.
Number two for me is one that we talked about a little bit ago, Rise of the Resistance. This ride
Hey.
made me a bigger Star Wars fan than I thought was possible. I mean, you're transported to a Star Wars movie in this. I mean, even though it obviously never happened anything canon, it's just, even if you don't love Star Wars, how can you hate this ride? Just, you know, the two separate rides, I guess you could say, when you're going from Batuu to, you know, the Star Destroyer and then the ride within the Star Destroyer. They've never done anything like this before. And it's all the time and effort they put into this, well worth it.
Yeah, it shows, you know, like they really did put a lot of time and effort and direction, you know, into making this feel as real as possible. And it feels it. You look around, it's like, yeah, I'm in a Star Destroyer right now. All right. And for number one, Flight of Passage. You can't convince me. I'm sorry. There's no better ride in the resort than Flight of Passage. This one, man, you feel like you're on top of the Banshee. I don't know how they did this one, but just with the effects, the way that the glasses, I guess, interact with the screen in front of you, like it's so immersive, and the way that they blow the smells into your face, like as you're going through different parts and feeling the machine that you're riding upon kind of breathe as if it's a Banshee. You know, the way the music hits, even like there's this one part where your Banshee settles down. Spoiler alert, by the way. There's this one part where the Banshee settles down inside of like this cavern, and these like pink spores start to unleash, and it just feels so calm and serene. And you feel that peace of Pandora, but you also feel the adventure of it on the ride too. And I just it works so well for me.
During that part in the cavern, I was tense because I thought for sure something was just gonna like pop out and try to like eat you or something. I'm just like, okay, something's gonna pop up, something's gonna pop up. Something.
I'm glad nothing does, because there's plenty of those moments in that ride, you know, like when those like rhino things or the bowls kind of come together and they almost smush you, or when that wave is kind of closing in on you.
Yeah.
Just the 3D effect is just, oh
That was a pretty incredible 3D.
top tier, top tier.
And for me, my number one favorite Disney ride is one that we talked about for a little bit in this episode, Space Mountain. I love sci-fi, but you know, it's the whole indoor roller coaster and you can't see where you're going to me is just so much fun. I know there's not a whole lot of like story and everything to the ride, but I bet you don't always need it. I mean, just soaring through space and all the sound effects. And, you know, it's just that is the ride that, like, if when I'm there at a slow time of the year, I legit will ride it over and over and over again. I honestly can't get enough of it. It's probably my all-time favorite amusement park ride.
Yeah, it's a great one. I mean, that one's definitely in my top 10 if we were to do that. But yeah, you're right. Like just the feeling of flying through this, you know, this indoor mountain and not knowing where you're going, that's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
For both kids and adults, I think. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Everybody. That's one of the rides that everybody enjoys.
Family fun for all of us.
Except for Grandma. Grandma rode it once. She did not like it. She couldn't see where she was going. And I just remember hearing Taylor yell, "Are you okay, Grandma?" And I hear Grandma yell, "I don't know." Senior citizens may not like it as much. There are some that probably do, but kind of 50-50. All right, well, this has been a lot of fun speculating what's going to happen in Tomorrowland and talking about some of our favorite stuff. Let us know on Instagram what some of your favorite, what your top five rides would be, and what you think is going to happen to certain attractions within Tomorrowland. Join us next time as we start to dive into Fantasyland. Maybe not the whole thing just yet, but parts of Fantasyland. It's been a lot of fun. We'll see you all next time.
Later.